It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin has more public drinking water systems than anywhere else in the nation. It's also the birthplace of the first Public Service Commission, which was established in 1907. It laid the groundwork for how public utilities operate across the country. Now, more than a century later, researchers at UW-Madison are evaluating the water utilities around the state and assigning letter grades. The Wisconsin Water Works Excellent Project released its report card this week, giving grades to 572 drinking water utilities around Wisconsin. Manny Teodoro is professor in the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison, where he leads the Wisconsin Water Works Excellence Project. He spoke with Kate Archer-Kent last week.
So lay it out for us. What is the Wisconsin Water Works Excellence Project, which is the first public report, I understand?
Yeah, it is an effort to publish comprehensive academic-style report cards for every regulated drinking water utility in the state of Wisconsin. That's 570 utilities, and we're producing a report card, the same kind of thing that you would have had in high school. There's different subjects, and you get a grade, A, B, C, D, F. It's an effort to help illuminate these often forgotten and hidden but critical systems.
Okay, so these are the report cards coming out. What do you want these report cards to accomplish?
You know, it's really an effort to make the invisible visible. Drinking water is essential. It keeps us all alive. It sustains our civilization. But most people know very little about the systems themselves or the organizations that run them. And so people tend to forget about them. We notice when we have to pay a bill every month or maybe every couple of months or every quarter. But, you know, a water system that's in great shape, a water utility that's operating very efficiently, looks exactly the same as one that's on the verge of disaster the day before the disaster. So what we're trying to do is show to residents, policymakers, that these things are important and try to get them on folks' minds and their radar screens before those disasters occur. And so that's one of the things we're trying to do. The other thing we're trying to do is help distinguish great water systems from merely good ones or merely adequate ones. You know, the whole water sector is sort of organized around this framework of regulatory compliance. My goal as a utility manager, of course, is to comply with regulations. But that's sort of doing the minimum. You can think of that in academic terms as taking a course pass-fail. Well, pass-fail is fine. It's good to pass. It's bad to fail. But a pass-fail approach doesn't distinguish the truly great student, that honors student, from the merely barely passing student. So what we're trying to do with these report cards is give people a way to distinguish great performance from merely adequate.
And this is not the type of thing that gets unveiled that often. Like, you don't see those differences very visibly. Like, there is not a federal type of report card.
Well, that's correct. This is an unprecedented report card. Like, there's nobody else in the country that's done anything like this. The closest is there's a couple of efforts. There's one in New Jersey, and there's one in Louisiana that have public reporting of utility performance, but they don't provide this summary academic style report card. So there's just a lot of data in the case of New Jersey. In the case of Louisiana, there is an academic style report card, but it's not broken down by subject. And honestly, it's pretty easy to earn an A under that Louisiana rubric. Not so here in Wisconsin. Our rubric is quite rigorous. It's actually very difficult to earn an A. So in that sense, it's unique. And it's something that you can only do here in this state because of the depth and quality of data we have on water system performance.
I was going to say, how did you pull this data and how do you know that what you have is helpful to be able to put out these clear report cards?
Yeah, you could not do this in any other state. And that's because we have a couple of institutions, organizations in the state that collect massive amounts of high-quality data on water system performance. There's the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. So DNR captures water quality data for all of these systems. They take thousands and thousands of water samples every year, and we've got data on all of that water quality. But the really unique thing in Wisconsin is our Public Service Commission. So the PSC keeps infrastructure quality and financial data on all of these systems as well. And that just doesn't exist in any other state. We have extraordinarily fine-grained data going back decades for all of these systems. So that allows us to evaluate the systems in a way that would just be practically impossible anywhere else.
About how many Wisconsinites get their tap water from a water utility versus a well?
Right. It's about two-thirds of our population. Roughly two-thirds of our population gets their water from a utility. And in Wisconsin, those are almost all municipal utilities. We have 50 or 60 special districts. There's one investor-owned utility, but most of us get it from a municipal government. The roughly one-third of Wisconsinites who get their water from a private well, you know, that's a very large proportion relative to most states. So we have a lot of folks who are on private wells, even when they are close to or even within municipalities. A lot of our residents get their water from private wells. And we aren't issuing report cards for private wells. We don't have the data to do that.
We recently visited a resident of French Island, Jim Boyson, who has been drinking bottled water for more than 4 years after learning about PFAS contamination in his tap water. And let's take a listen.
When you think about water, well, you don't actually think about it every day. How often do you think about your water? Never. You know, it's just turn the tap on, it's automatically there. Not anymore.
Not anymore. Do we take the quality of our tap water for granted?
We sure do. You know, water, drinking water that comes out of that tap, it's the thing that you never think about until it's the only thing you think about. And we do have, unfortunately, a handful of places in the state, French Island is one of them, where we do have severe drinking water quality problems. Thank goodness that's the exception. But where, you know, where we have severe problems, they are, in some sense, the only thing to think about. You're going to wake up in the morning thinking about drinking water. It is the everyday miracle of the modern era that we have grown up, you know, born and raised in a society where we didn't have to think about these things. For our ancestors, starting from, only, you know, probably about 100 years ago, and before that, the whole history of our species, people had to think about where they were going to get their water. And so when that potable water system came into people's homes, it was a miracle. But you know, you almost heard in the sound of that man's voice a sense of disappointment and almost betrayal. And that's because drinking water is different from almost everything else government does. It's a deeply, deeply intimate service. We're talking about a government service that comes directly into your home. We immerse our children in it. We cook with it. We take it into our bodies. There's nothing else that government does that's quite like drinking water. So yeah, it carries not just health consequences, environmental consequences, but it means something to people's relationship with the state.
And you study that. You study how water and democracy are intricately connected. Can you tell us more about that trust or that lack of trust in government when a water system goes awry?
Yeah. In 2022, I published a book called The Prophets of Distrust with colleagues at the University of Iowa and University of Missouri, and it was about that relationship. As I said, water is such a critical, essential, it's the most basic of all basic services, and when it fails, people lose trust in the entire edifice of the regulatory system, the municipal utilities that are supposed to bring it. And the really troubling thing, Kate, is your drinking water system could be perfectly fine, could be excellent. But if you read about a failure in a neighboring community, or maybe even a community across the country, a Flint, Michigan, a Jackson, Mississippi, you're going to hear that news and it's going to make you question your own tap water, even if your tap water is fine. So that's part of what we're trying to do with these report cards as well. In fact, at the end of the book, we sort of speculate that, hey, maybe report cards would help illuminate this a little bit and help people distinguish the good systems from the bad and the great systems from the good.
So they wouldn't automatically go to the grocery store with their jugs if they don't need to and to spend that money.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, bottled water or even the water from those vending machines in the supermarket, those are orders of magnitude more expensive than tap water. For the most part, Americans are paying about a penny a gallon for tap water. A penny a gallon. If you buy water, bottled water by the case, maybe you buy cheap stuff at Walmart or Target or something, that's going to be something like 85 cents to a dollar per gallon. If you're buying the fancier kind, it can push $2 per gallon, or even absurdly more than that. If you buy it at a vending machine, it's probably going to be something like 35 to 50 cents a gallon. So we're talking a lot more money if people can get so that they're comfortable with their tap water, we're going to save a lot of money.
We're talking about the new Wisconsin Water Report Card grades 572 water utilities around the state. Manny Teodoro is a professor in the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison and founder of the Wisconsin Waterworks Excellence Project. Manny, digging into the grades here, some good news. More than 90% of Wisconsin utilities earn A grades in the water quality health category. Why do you think the state performed so well in this category?
Well, I think there's a couple of things going on here. One is it's a testament to the commitment of the men and women who operate these systems. They have a real commitment. People who work in the water sector are mostly quite passionate about what they do. So I think that they take it seriously, they take it personally, and that is a real success story. I think it's also no coincidence that water quality is the thing that we measure and report publicly. Right now, you know, people probably have seen these things that come out every year called the consumer confidence reports. Mm-hmm. They're very difficult to read. They're a little bit intimidating. They got a lot of chemical names on them. They're sort of scary. Well, those go out publicly. And, you know, I think there's no coincidence there then that the people who operate these systems are aware that those things go out publicly. And so, you know, the thing that we measure and observe, not surprisingly, is the thing where we perform very, very well.
So what about the 41 utilities that failed in that category, water quality, health category? What do you see there?
Yeah, they are mostly, in fact, they are almost all cases where a utility violated the Safe Drinking Water Act with what's called a maximum contaminant limit violation or treatment technique violation. Those are situations where the DNR determined that a utility failed to meet the health requirements of the Safe Drinking Water Act. So in rubric, that's an automatic failure.
And so those systems would be in the process of rectifying whatever is going on there?
That's right. And in a lot of cases, they already have.
Okay.
The data in that report are from 2022 and 2023. But yeah, you know, I want to emphasize, Kate, that our rubric is rigorous. You know, you ask my students, they'll tell you I'm tough. I don't inflate those grades. And we don't inflate the grades for our utilities. It is difficult to earn an A. It's not enough to stay under the contaminant limits. You got to stay way under the contaminant limits to earn an A under our rubric. So the fact that over 90% of our utilities get A's, again, that's an extraordinary success story.
The finance grades were much more of a mixed bag across the board. What stood out to you about the affordability of water around the state?
So in most of our state, water is actually pretty affordable. You know, if by affordable we mean the prices are relatively low. There's a strong relationship between the size of the utility and the affordability of the water. Water is a very capital-intensive enterprise. Our small towns and municipalities tend to have very high prices for their water. Our bigger systems tend to have lower prices for their water. So affordability is actually not too bad in most of the state, certainly for their larger communities. The finance grades, yeah, they were all over the place. And a lot of that was, especially again in some of those smaller communities, it's relative financial weakness. A lot of these places are running without much in the way of financial reserve. You know, we just came out of a pandemic where the need for financial reserves became quite glaring for everyone involved. We had utilities that couldn't collect bills for a period of time. Well, you still got to pay for chemicals. You still got to pay for workers. You still have to run your pumps and pay for electricity. So we need those financial reserves to be there. Those were the areas that really stood out as places where we could do better with finance, because we cannot maintain that excellent health grade if we don't have the money.
And you write that mixed grades for infrastructure and operations raises concerns about the sustainability of these critical systems. What was most concerning for looking at these types of results on infrastructure?
Yeah, the infrastructure grades, the thing that really stood out is that only a very small percentage, I think 5 or 10% are getting A's in infrastructure. And we have almost a quarter of our systems in the D to F range. That's a significant minority. What really stands out there is infrastructure condition. Midwestern winters are very, very tough on water distribution systems. It gets cold, cold, cold in the winter. It gets hot in the summer. And those wild fluctuations in temperature cause pipes to leak, and it can cause them to break. People don't realize it, but on the coldest days of the winter here, we've got operator crews in our cities fixing main breaks. Middle of the night, dead of winter, they're out there fixing those main breaks to keep our water pressure up. We can't keep those health grades strong with failing infrastructure. You know, main breaks cause disruptions to homes and businesses. Those main breaks can cause loss of water pressure, which can introduce contaminants into the water system. They're bad, bad, bad. So I worry about the sustainability of that strong performance on health if our infrastructure quality isn't where it needs to be.
So if someone looks at these grades and at their own municipal system and has concerns about performance or quality or cost, what is in their power to do as a resident?
Well, like I said, we're fortunate in Wisconsin in the sense that we have so much data available. The institutions to contact or to get involved are the utilities themselves. In Wisconsin, they're almost all municipal systems, so they're owned and operated by municipal governments. They can contact their local municipalities. But we're also unique in Wisconsin in that every one of those municipal systems is also regulated by the Public Service Commission. So you can contact PSC, especially if you think there are problems with infrastructure or on the financial side. That's going to be, you know, the place to get some help, you know, to look to for relief. It's a set of institutions that provide the public opportunities to advocate for more water. It's part of that progressive tradition that we've got in this state. We built institutions to be responsive. We're just trying to help that by putting information into people's hands.
And then I'm wondering, you know, as you look at all of this data, as the grades came in through this process, did anything surprise you along the way as a researcher?
Honestly, I was surprised at how well we did with health. I was expecting strong performance. I wasn't expecting 90% or more getting A's because, as I said, our rubric's tough. I also expected going in that we would see a strong relationship between performance and size. It's very tough to run a modern water system if you've got 2-3 employees. These are technically complex jobs. When the data came out, though, and we really started to see the relationship between performance and size, it was even more dramatic than I expected. So I think one of the big takeaways that people are going to get from these report cards is that a lot of our small communities are doing fine, but a lot of our smaller rural water systems are really struggling. And that's tough. It's tough to operate a water system if you've got a small population, a stagnant population, maybe even a shrinking population, which is true in large swaths of our state. It is, again, a testament to the dedication of the men and women who operate those systems that they're still maintaining health, but they're keeping those systems together, you know, by hook and by crook. So I think the thing that stands out is we need to find systemic ways to help our smaller systems.
Manny, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. It's been great, and I hope that these report cards help the people of Wisconsin.
That was Manny Teodoro, professor in the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison, talking to Kate Archer-Kent. Teodoro is the founder of the Wisconsin Waterworks Excellence Project. They just released a report card grading 572 water utilities around the state. Still ahead on Wisconsin Today, meet a Wisconsin researcher working with people in wheelchairs to help make the experience as user-friendly and injury-free as possible.
We really want to keep their arms as healthy as it can be so they can do all the activities that they want to do.
That's next here on WPR News.